I remember the first time I got a car that was, it was like a rental car and it had new technology. And I was driving along and like the whole time the car was like buzzing at me and the steering wheel was vibrating. I thought, what in the world's wrong with this car? And it wasn't until later I realized that was like one of those lane change things. Like the car was getting mad when I was drifting out of the lane. And I guess I was such a crazy driver, I kept drifting out. I had no idea up until that point that cars were like having a brain. And like you could have like, that was like the first bit of self-driving cars. And that like freaked me out. And then I'm seeing all these commercials. Jeff, have you seen commercials for the self-driving cars that they show like cars driving forever on the freeway, the self-driving things? Have you seen those?
Yeah, they scare me and they excite me at the same time.
Exactly. I'm a little bit anxious. I'm a little bit excited, but I'm a little bit scared. I'm thinking I'm gonna be driving along and there's gonna be some car next to me going along with some guy sleeping in it. Anyway, today we are gonna find out what is coming next and when will we be getting a car that you can drive with your actual voice. Welcome to the Voice Box, everybody. I'm Darren.
I'm Jeff. Our guest today is Shamla Parayaga from Ford, and we're super excited to have her on. She is working on voice interfaces in cars.
So Shamla, I got to ask you, are we going to get a car that you can drive with your voice? And if so, when are we getting there?
I would say probably very soon. You know, you can control everything through voice nowadays, so why not car? So. And like I always like to say this thing, when vehicle becomes the driver, voice becomes the companion. So you would want to do everything through voice. And that is coming pretty soon. Our autonomous vehicles are coming in like next 2 years. It will have some voice features, but of course not the, you know, start my car or drive me there kind of thing yet. But there are a lot of cool use cases out there, which we have figured.
Give me some cases. What are some things when the first cars come out from Ford, they're going to have some of this voice interaction. What are some things that we're going to be able to control with our voice in the car?
So if you look at the traditional cars, there are a lot of things you can do even now with Think Ford. If you have not, you know, seen our vehicles, Mach-E, F-150, you should definitely check them out. They are equipped with a lot of cool features. You are able to call someone, message someone, email them, and turn on music or play music or climate controls in the car where you can say things like my feet are cold or turn on the AC or things like that. And then you can also ask the car to drive you somewhere. You can say, hey, take me to a Ford Museum or things like that. And the car will be able to do a lot of these kind of things. Now with autonomous, some of the use cases are slightly deviated. You cannot do some of the things like because autonomous cars are taking you from point A to B right now. It's a very geofenced kind of thing. So you cannot say, drive me to some location which was not geofenced, but that is coming very soon as the AV will mature.
So I'll be able to say, drive me to Darren's house and eventually, and it will just take me there. Never mind that I live 2,000 miles away from Darren, but it'll just take me there. That's pretty amazing.
You can do that even now with the traditional cars, provided Darren is your contact and we have his address.
Let's hope he has my address. So I got to ask, if I'm in the car and like, you know, my wife and I are driving and I'm saying, hey, car, does the car have a name? Do we have to give the car a name or does everyone get to give their car their own name? Do you know? How does that work?
As of now, the car has a wake-up word. And people use it, like we have Alexa on Google. So car also has its own wake-up word, which is Hey Ford for now. We are looking at different ways, different options. If people like to name their cars, so should they not be able to name their assistant? But that is something, we need something in the roadmap.
Yeah, so if I'm driving, I say, hey Ford, I'm hot. Make it cooler. And then my wife says, hey, Ford, I'm cold. Make it hotter. What happens if we get in an argument and we're like arguing over Ford and never mind. So I got to ask you a quick question. Do you name your cars?
I do.
What's the name of your car?
My car's name is Tommy.
Tommy?
No, funny, yes. That's kind of funny. And my son has named our Honda car. He's so fond of that one. Like, he's like, don't sell that car ever. He's so attached to it.
I found Jeff, do you have named your cars? Have your any of your cars named?
No, I feel stupid about that because I know that's the cool thing to do. But we just, you know, we just call it by its maker model. We'll say, oh, I need the Honda or I need the Volkswagen or whatever.
Yeah, we have Karen and we have the Platypus. So those are our two cars. And yes, we name all of our cars. So
well, you name everything, Darren.
You don't want to hear what the names I have for you, but that will be another topic for another conversation. Those are some things that are happening right now that we can automatically get in and do. What's going to be coming in this next generation? What are some things I hope you can share with us, some of the secrets that you've got that you're working on that'll be the next generation of cars that you can control with your voice? Any little sneak preview?
There are a lot of things we are working on. I cannot share a lot, but then some of the things, you know, for example, customer care kind of things will become very prominent, where you should be able to connect with the customer care, or if you have any kind of emergency, if you want to request a 911 or things like that, you should still be able to do those kind of things through voice. What we have also done, what we've been working on, is voice enabling the entire owner's manual. We have an owner's manual, which is always in the glove box. Not everyone uses it. And based on the research, what we identified is most of the time, if you are stuck with something, you would still not go to the glove box and, you know, use that. You would rather use a YouTube video like, how do I change my tire or things like that if you are new. But it's not really helping. For the very same reason, we realized like voice would be a very good addition. And if someone needs to know something like, how do I change my tires, or what is cruise control, like you were talking about some of the cool features, which most of these vehicles have, and how do I enable it? And if they have questions about things, voice can give you a lot more flexibility and freedom that way, right? So those are some kind of things. In future, you start seeing, scheduling appointments for maintenance, or vehicle proactively telling you, like, your vehicle is due, do you want me to schedule an appointment, or things like that. So there are a lot of cool use cases which will be dedicated to automotive. Amazon has been working on something where you can pay through your voice for gas, you know, in petrol station, gas stations. So that's kind of cool. Voice commerce will become very prominent in automotive section. So yeah, there are a lot of interesting things.
So I have a question. One of the things that we have here in my family is my wife, if she's going to go on an errand that's, let's say, an hour or so away, driving for an hour or so can be very lonely, and she will try to persuade me to come along just to talk to her, just to keep her company. And I can imagine that it would be nice for my car to be able to keep me company, that I could be able to talk about, you know, I don't need that so much in a home assistant, because there's plenty of things to do in the home, and I'm not usually, my eyes and attention isn't required to be focused on the road. But is that something that people are talking about also, is like a companionship feature in the car?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, in the autonomous also, I have seen this happening. When we were talking to people, many people were like, hey, you know what, I like talking to my Uber driver as well, you know, when I'm riding, because it's kind of fun. Some people don't talk to anyone, but then most of the people, I love talking to the drivers as well. And usually when I am driving, my commute is an hour. So if it is me driving alone, I would call my husband, because otherwise I'll feel sleepy, like you mentioned. So if voice assistant was there, so usually how and what I do is I listen to podcasts, and that keeps me awake and active most of the time. But if there were voice assistants out there in the car to help me with things or talk to me, just ask me basic things, chit chat with me, or hey, how was your day? What's going on? And things like that. Why not? I mean, people have desired these kind of use cases and features. And I've heard a lot of people seeking these kind of companionships with their assistants, where they just want to chit chat and, you know, tell about their day. They're not expecting a response back saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know, you should do this or that or something. It's like just venting out their feelings or just telling what's going on.
It's a psychiatrist. Yeah. You're building a psychiatrist into the car so they can have a therapy session. And I can see, like, now, oftentimes when you're driving along and the car can sense if you're starting to fall asleep or if you're getting drowsy, if you're not looking at the road, I could see that then a voice assistant in the car would say, hey, wake up, rather than just like giving you a little buzz, but actually could start having a conversation with you to keep you safer, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, see, right now, what happens is we have haptic nudges or different ways to tell the user if they are drowsy, like vibrate or things like that, right? If there was voice, it could be so helpful in so many ways, being able to leverage the technology, being able to leverage drowsiness or distracted driving and proactively telling the user, like, focus on the road. And those kind of things will be really beneficial and can actually help with so much safety and safe driving.
I'll tell you, the other thing that I want in a car, interaction-wise, is I often drive long distances. And if I'm driving a long distance and it's time for lunch, I'd like to talk to the car about, is there any interesting food, you know, 45 minutes ahead? Or, you know, on my road ahead. And it might say, oh, there's an award-winning prime rib sandwich shop in 30 miles. And I would say, oh, have them have one ready for me. And then I can just pull off the road and it's ready. And maybe I've already paid for it. And they just hand it to me and I'm back on my way. I don't know. I can see it making my life a lot easier for a long distance drive.
Yeah, mom told you you're not supposed to be eating those prime rib sandwiches, okay? I'm just reminding you. Lay off the prime rib sandwiches. That's mom's message.
I don't think I've ever had a prime rib sandwich. I just made that up. Is there such a thing? I don't know. We'll see.
So you're talking about sort of like this, you're really basically building a voice assistant into a car, and you have some experience. I'm gonna jump off topic for just a second or two, because you actually pretty much you were on the lead team in building a voice assistant sort of like Alexa before Alexa, right?
Yeah, of course. So I work with the voice box technology, and interesting enough, your podcast name is also voice box.
I know. I was excited. First of all, I thought Jeff had hired another assistant to run the podcast. Like, oh no, never mind. It was a whole different company. I got excited for nothing. But that was the company you worked for making the voice box assistant, right?
Right, indeed. So VoiceBox was recently acquired by Cerence, but before that, they were a small startup. They were a conversational AI company working on ASRs, NLU, NLP, TTS, all of the parts, as well as they were working with a lot of automotive OEMs to create their voice assistants like Nissan, Hyundai, and that's how actually I got into cars. But in addition to those things, they were also working on Samsung S-Voice, and they were working on their own assistant, which was Xavier. And it was a smart speaker, pretty much similar to Alexa or Google Assistant, but they started working on it way before Amazon actually came up with the idea.
Had you gotten a little farther ahead on that and they had finished that, instead, everybody around the world right now would be saying, hey, Xavier, what's the weather today? Or, hey, Xavier, what time is the movie start, or something like that? Almost. Instead, now Xavier's been like the wicked stepchild pushed out of the nest, and Alexa's taken over instead.
Right? A wicked stepchild? What's a wicked stepchild?
I was picturing like the cowbird. I remember watching those movies in like elementary school when some
cowbird.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what it's called. It was bird would lay an egg, and then the cowbird would come lay its eggs in the same nest, and then the cowbird eggs would hatch and push the other eggs out of the...
Yeah.
Is that true? Is there even?
No, I think that's totally true. I think it's a cowbird that does that.
Well, that's what Alexa. Alexa was the cowbird that pushed poor Xavier out of the nest.
Kind of, yeah. So... Typical things, right? I mean, brand name, the size of the company, and all of those things also makes a lot of difference. So the company had great vision, the product was excellent, and I worked on so many aspects of the design, right? From deciding what kind of smart speaker do we want. We had so many different shapes and sizes, and we thought about, which one would make sense, to thinking about, what kind of control should we have? Should we have two controls, or should we have four controls? Also thinking about the visual cues, like how do we show the different kind of cues, to thinking about the ear cons, to thinking about the different kind of use cases and how the companion app would work. It was an amazing kind of work which we did there. And first of all, since it was a small company, not many people knew, if it was out, of course, it would be difficult for them to sell it. It would become something like... I forgot the brand name, but I think one of the robotics company who were working on voice-enabled products, and then they had to sunset the project because there was not a lot of traction. So I forgot the name, But it's the same kind of thing. The brand name makes a lot of difference. So they were struggling with those things, but they had great vision. And they were like, you know what? We will white label this thing and sell it to hotels, hospitals, and all the places. So it's not our brand. It's not Xavier. It was what we call. But people can name whatever they want. They can give it their own custom branding and custom name and stuff like that. So they were thinking about all the things we are now doing. Back then, like so many, 7 years back, I think so.
You have been in this whole technology for so long. So let me ask you, if you had like a magic wish, if you had a genie, and in this case, the genie, instead of being in a lamp, will be in a box because this is the voice box. So if you had a genie in a box, if you could wish for some technology, like you're sitting there every day thinking, oh, I just wish we could do X. Is there something that you would wish for in the speech voice technology realm that you just hope is coming soon but isn't quite there yet? What would you want to have happen if you asked a genie?
So you know what I would want to have is a connected experience, you know, where right now if I have to, so for example, if I was attending a meeting at home and then I have to start driving, I have to again connect the Bluetooth sometimes, and then it has to, you know, I have to pick it up, the audio has to be picked in the car and things like that, right? So there's a lot of things where, you know, seamless integration and seamless handoff is not possible right now. So imagine if I was attending a meeting here, and the moment I'm in the car, the assistant picks up like, okay, you know, I just need to continue the conversation there. Or even if it was a music I was listening at my home through Alex, and all of a sudden I have to drive. And if I want the experience to continue, it should just continue rather than me again starting some music and again asking the assistant to continue those kind of things. And if my car knew the entire routine and where I have to go without me telling it, like, okay, go here, take me there, and all of these different things where, you know, I might have multiple schedules. If all of those things was somehow integrated, that would be so amazing. You know, I would love that kind of experience. And of course, I would love my car to drive me. I don't like driving.
That'd be great. So there's no real boundary between being at home, being in your car, being at work, being, you know, on your phone in the supermarket or whatever. It's seamless, whatever music and meeting that you might be in or whatever, just stays connected and carries through all of that. Yeah. That'll be the day.
Yeah. We'll make it happen. We'll get the wheels in motion, start on that already. It was a pleasure chatting with you. You have a couple of books out, but you also have a course. I just want to let people know how they can connect with you on either of those things. You want to give us the details on that? I'm either reading one of your stories, your book, or the course to learn from you. How do we learn more about that?
So my course is called Voice Interaction Design. So if you want to learn more about the course, basically it's about conversation design. If you want to get into this space, you know, this is an immersive course, 24 weeks long. So you can, and multiple capstones. We have 3 capstones. So it is very immersive experience. So by the end of the course, you will have not only the theoretical, practical experience, but also, you know, the psychological things which is required to think about privacy, ethics, accessibility, inclusiveness, and all of those things. If you want to learn more about the course, you can do that. Go to our website, digitalassistant.academy, and you will get all of the information. And I have 2 books. One book is launched called Close Calls, My Life of Unseen Miracles. And the other 2 are still in the writing stage, called Emotionally Engaged Digital Assistant and Humanizing Privacy. So all of this information you can find on my website called shyamlaprayaga.com, my first name, last name.com. And I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if someone wants to connect, they can just keep in touch with me there.
Fantastic. All right. Fantastic. And we'll put that information in the notes for the show. Shyamala, it's been fantastic talking to you. I'm excited about the future of voice in automotive, and I wish you the best. I wish you good luck in making all that stuff come to pass.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
And say hi to Tommy, your car, from us, okay?
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jeff, I got to pick your brain because you're the technical whiz-bang computery guy here. But when she was talking about some of that stuff, the things that the cars are going to be able to do, and a car, you know, being able to, you know, wake you up if you're driving. What are the chances? What's the future that could happen? Could a car actually sense that you're falling asleep, not just from your eye movement, but actually from your talking to the car? Would that be possible?
Yeah, sure. There have been some interesting studies where people have collected speech from people as they are staying up later and later. And some of those are motivated by military applications where you have to keep the pilots awake and so forth. And so there are these recordings of what it sounds like when people get tired. We know intuitively their speech gets slurred and they're a little slower to respond, but there are subtle markers in the voice that go beyond the obvious that we could clue in on and say, oh, I can, you know, if we're just talking about turn on the radio or whatever, and we notice, oh, you sound pretty tired when you say that, that maybe it's more than just turn on the radio. Maybe we want to engage you. A friend of mine has a company called Drive, DREYEV, that...
I think your friend needs to go back to school to get some spelling lessons.
Yeah, see, no, but it's a little thing of mine. A lot of people have, they want to be clever and they put the word I, like, you know, your I, EYE.
Oh, I get
for,
it.
Okay. For I... And it's hard to know how to pronounce. It's kind of like the Oneaters, you know, what was that thing you do, the old Tom Hanks movie where they were the Wonders, but they spelled one with O-N-E. And then no one knew how to pronounce them.
Right. What is the name? And you're trying to introduce the group and you don't like the
Oneaters. Oneaters, yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Keep anyway, going, so Drive, DREYEV. Do you know what? With this little conversation, nobody's going to forget how to spell that. So they're doing some interesting work in engaging people when they, you know, to prevent fatigue and detecting fatigue and engaging them in like giving them a quiz or teaching them a language or something like that. And I think there's a lot of room for the cars to be proactive in detecting fatigue through voice and maybe other kinds of conditions and then engaging the driver in a way to keep them maximally focused, not distracted. You got to find that fine line to keep them awake and alert and not distracted.
Like you're getting drowsy. Let's see if we can figure out how to order a prime rib sandwich in Romanian by the time we get to Rochester. But as you mentioned that, is there a difference? Can a technology tell the difference in someone who is tired and slurring their words and maybe they've had one too many to drink and slurring
their words? Well, that's another one is to be able to detect inebriation or any kind of being under the influence.
Right now they have like devices. If someone's had like DUI conviction or something like that, they have to do a breathalyzer test to be able to start their car. And so maybe the car will be able to say, you don't have to breathe into something. Just say the alphabet for me or something. And I can tell from that if you're too inebriated.
Yeah. Before we go, tell me where you want to go. And then, can you say that backwards? Or whatever, try to challenge them on that and see.
We're gonna go somewhere else, like to the police station and have them check your breath first.
That's right.
Amazing. It is amazing the technology that is coming out and seeing a glimpse of what could be coming in people's cars in the future. We've had sort of a sneak preview today and what Ford is working on and some of the technology that they've got. I can only imagine what everybody else is working on and what other things that could be coming. Thank everybody so much for sharing your time with us today. My name is Darren.
And I'm Jeff. And thanks for joining us on The Voice Box.